Tonight, I asked all my friends, pastor friends, Pastor Rick Sharkey, Pastor Spokane Christian Center up in Spokane, Washington. He come a long way to come to the, it's a long way up there because we go up there occasionally. But he's going to be speaking for us tonight. I want you to give one of Rhema's own, Rick Sharkey, give him a big hand as he comes. Come on, Rick. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many love the pastor? You know, a few days ago, it was Pastor's Appreciation Month. I hope you said something appreciative of him, gave him a card, gave him a gift or something. But if you didn't, let's just give him a big oorah and to thank God for. We do that. Man camp's coming up, and so we try to get, you know, testosterone flowing and stuff like that. So every once in a while, I just say, give it a oorah, and they'd give a big. Oh, man, you ain't with you. Give him a big. Yeah, he's a military guy. A long time. It'll never come out of him. Amen. Amen. He's a great leader, is he not? You guys are all spread out. It's a big place. A bunch of islands out there. Amen. But I'm glad to be here. I'm thrilled to be with you. Some of you know me, but most of you don't. And that's all right. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I think this is like sixth time I've been allowed to speak at Rhema over the years. I graduated in 1979. That's when the school was like 4 years old, and they were still building the buildings. There's open ditches. The parking lots were gravel. There's mud everywhere. It was cold. It was a hard winter, but it made us tough. I mean, it was no bed of flowers when you got out there in the real world either. But I'm grateful for my roots. I'm grateful for my beginnings. I'm grateful for what the Lord has done in my life through this ministry. Amen. How many of you are attended Rhema? Hold your hand up real high, real big, like you're proud of it, like that. Look at it, it's all over the place. Tell you, this is a unique place. This is a unique place. And you need to know that not everywhere has the girth, the depth that this place has. And the longevity. Whitley was back here. I don't know if she's out here. She went to teach or something somewhere. But Whitley, the young lady, she's the daughter of a friend of mine in Boise, Idaho. He's got a great church moving down there. In fact, he's doing a church leadership kind of thing tomorrow. My wife is taking a crew of our people. We're flying down for the day, and they're going to go down there and catch some things. What's unique about that is that tomorrow is our 49th wedding anniversary. So she's over there and I'm here, but it's okay. When we're home, we're empty nesters, so every day's a honeymoon for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So thank you. Praise the Lord. A few of you know me, Ron and Wolene back here. When I graduated, I went back to my hometown, Hood River, Oregon, and we helped a church there for a year. I knew about Spokane, but I just had to get my bearings and get my roots and get things going. So the church that I was allowed to work in and help, Ron and Wolene were going to this church. And it was kind of a startup church, a beginner church. But when they came down, man, they were hungry. But Ron was just a logger from the woods. And I'm not even sure Wolene had housebroken yet. But he's grown a lot since he's been here. He is housebroken now. But now, 40 years ago, he didn't look like Santa. Now he just looks like Santa. But he's happy and joyful about that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's great for me to come back to home base. I try to come back twice a year because I'm grateful for my roots. You know, my dad, I had a great dad and mom. They raised me up in church and things. It wasn't a very strong church, but they raised me up in church. And it's important to have those kinds of roots. And he had several sayings for me, and a lot of them stuck with me. one of those sayings. I don't think it was his original, but one of those sayings was a parallel to a life value, and it says, you take the girl home that you took to the dance. How many ever heard something like that along the way? And as you be faithful and loyal to your roots, to your establishment. And a lot of people don't know that. And they come in and get their things from a God directive to come to Rhema. And then they go out and they just say, well, that's a new thing. I'm going to go get that. It's like, what's your flavor of the month? But for me, I had this ingraining inside of me. God put me at this place. God put me, and God put me in a relationship, and I ain't leaving it. And I'm going to do everything I can to add to it. And I would encourage you to do the same thing, to give into it. You know, I wished I could give more, but we give with all our heart and all our life. And there's a fruit from that when you honor your parents. And I have natural parents, but the Hagen is a natural leader and mentors and parents to me, and I'm grateful for. How many grateful for the roots and the heritage that you got? Be faithful, be loyal to that. So coming here is like I'm coming and connecting with a commander. I'm connecting with home base, headquarters, and to catch something. And I was asked to speak here, and it's a real, real honor for me. I'm not just saying that. I'm not looking for a gig. I'm not looking for an offering. I'm looking for... To me, that's a gratifying thing, and I'm very grateful for it, Pastor. Very, very grateful for it. This is a great church, and it's been in existence. We've been at pastoring for 40 years. This is close to that, 35. Yeah, I'm counting every minute. Believe me, I know every day. But this is a great church, and you're a part of a great church. You're just not attenders. 34. You're just not attenders. Don't ever let yourself think that way, because that's small thinking. You are a part of an organization that's changing the nation, that's helping me, helping churches all over America. But it's changing the world. There's 260 or something Bible schools around the world. Who's doing that? You're a part of that. This is a great church. Great things happen out of a great church, and greater things are meant to happen when you guys just say, look, we're going to make this place a stronger in a better place. Are you out there? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Ephesians 5 is where I'm going to launch from that. And you can look there. I'm going to go through a lot of verses. It's really not a Bible study night. It's an exhortation time. But Ephesians 5 and 27, we know the parallel is that that Jesus is comparing the role of a husband and a wife with his role with the church. The church is like his bride. It's like his wife. And in this verse, he says that he's going to flood his wife, his bride, his church with a deluge. Like, I think it's raining out. He's going to have a downpour. It says it in the book. He's going to have a downpour, the washing and the rinsing and the cleaning and the preparation of his bride, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. A glorious church. You see, it's not just a pretty church. It's not a nice building. It's a glorious church. Pastor Hagen preached 3 or 4 years ago on the glory of God, and the greater glory of God. Are we living in the fullness of what Jesus wants us to live in? The glory of God. I want that in my house. I want that in my church. I pursue that. I pray that. I just don't want to make my budget. I just don't want things to run smooth. I want the glorious church to... I want to present myself to him and receive what he has for me. But I want to build a glorious church. And what does that look like? What would and what does the glorious church look like? It's a church that has vision. Now, this vision here for the city, for the nation, this vision for the world. It's a church that has leadership. The team, that there's such unity, such cohesiveness in the leadership team here. It's always working on it. But there's things that's always working. I noticed that. Ben came into the speaker room a little while ago, and he was talking, hey, we're coming up to Spokane in April or something next year. You see, that's a signal to me of great leadership. There's leadership here. There's vision here. There's leadership here. There's lots of things. The Word of God. And I said, we're going to look at the Bible, Ephesians 5. All the books went open. Why? There's a history of the Word of God here. You know how important that is? You know how weak that is around the nation? They make references to the Bible. And they have, well, the Bible kind of says this. And they make supposition. You know, the Word of God is so important. It's life to those that find them. It's health to their flesh. There's a legacy of a glorious church here by the word that's being taught. Other things is prayer. Tad just talked about a prayer meeting. He didn't know when it is, but he was talking about a prayer meeting. I tell you what, there are churches that don't pray now. We have several prayer meetings because you know what? That's our lifeline to God. And churches are supposed to pray. Not just gather, not just hear. Our heads are so big with information and our spirit man is deprived because prayer is contact with God. Prayer goes on here. There's a legacy. You have a good church here. No, you have a great church here. And you're pursuing glorious things. And I'm telling you, you seek God, what happens? You find him. You knock, doors come open. But if we don't, they don't. There's worship here. I love Brother Washington. He's a great worshiper. I like him. I mean, I think there's probably 500 churches in Spokane like to have him, or in the nation that'd like to have him as our worship leader. He's good. I don't want him, though, but I just want to stay in good grounds with Pastor. Anyway, worship, relationships. Pastor is a relationship guy when he goes out on his meetings to reach and generate. He primarily goes to churches that have a relationship with him. They're either Rhema churches, he go there. Those are things that make the glorious church. Other things are faith. Of course, we know that's the spinal cord. That's the backbone of this organization is faith. Generosity. Love has got to be in the glorious church. And there's got to be resilience, fighting the good fight of faith, lasting, sticking it out. You got to have those things. Those are just things, just a handful, just a few mentions that talk about the evidence or the symptoms of the glorious church. And I want to talk about one more thing that is a factor of the glorious church that needs to be in every church. This is the remaining time that I have that I want to talk about is this one factor that I've been speaking in my church, and it's joy. It's joy. There's a lot of sad, mad, and bad people out there. And I tell you, some of them went to Bible school. I'm telling you, some of them got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with the language that he gave them. And they've evidently lost their contact with him because they're grumpy and frumpy. I had a video that I was going to show, but I'm not just because of time, but I'll tell you about it. It's a little cartoon character. About Pooh Bear, and he had a friend called Eeyore. Anybody know about Eeyore? I mean, my grandkids love it. I'm so tired of seeing Pooh Bear. It's just because they love him. But anyway, the story's right. Eeyore and Pooh Bear had a conversation one day, and he is so down. It's his birthday. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. No birthday cake, no presents, no party. We don't need any more Eeyore Christians, do we? You know, I know Eeyore pastors. How about you? And we don't need Eeyores. We need joy of the Lord working in our lives. Now listen, we have serious business. We do have serious business. The first funeral I did was for a crib death. Baby, just this baby, the coffin was this big, little blue coffin. I just got out of Rhema, just started our church, and I went up there, and the family was like from a foster system, and was the mom was there and had a couple of infants beside this one, and this one was crib death, and I mean it was just a sad, sad picture. And so we was in my first funeral, crib death. That wasn't fair. You know, there's a lot of unfair out there, but we still do it, right? Because it's right. But anyway, so we did this. I was asked, the family came to our church, and they asked me to do the funeral. So I did the funeral, sure. So I get up there, and I'm just talking about the love of God. I'm talking about the heaven, about the innocence of the baby and all this thing. And a couple little kids came up and wanted to touch the baby brother. And the compassion of God just swelled over me. And I just started crying and snotting, and it was just ugly. And then I get try to carry on with my thing, and I get this deep, deep cry. And it's, you go, you can't talk when you do that. But in the midst of all the compassion and all the sad, me seeing the family, I did not lose my joy because I knew that baby was in heaven. And I knew that family had the promise of a comforter coming and wrapping his arms around him and doing some things. You see, in the midst of bad, God wants us to keep our joy. But we let joy get smothered. You can't take it away. Remember, we used to sing a song, This Joy That I Have, The World Didn't Give It To Me. Anybody ever sing that song? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. How many had the joy taken out of them? They got pushed out. They got smothered. They got beat up by cares and all those things. We got to take care of the joy of the Lord. There's a scripture that says this, that weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. I think sometimes we miss the morning, and we just live the day with the weeping at night. And I'm telling you, friends, we can't do that. We can't do that. There's a 1 Peter 1 and 8, and you can mark it, write it down. It says that there is a joy unspeakable. You know what that means? That there's a joy that cannot be defined. There's a joy that God puts in us that you can't explain. You can't put it out on a tape measure. You can't put it on a slide rule. You can't write a definition of it. I can't tell you where it came from. I can't tell you how I got it, but I know I got it. Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin, told a story years ago that I'll never forget. He's talked about a pastor way down deep in the South, and he didn't go to school, a shallow education, but he loved God. And the call of God came on him. And he began to preach and to preach. And he found then that his calling and his grace and his gift. He began to preach and he began to teach. And the anointing of God would flow through. People would get healed. Things would happen all around. And the reputation of the anointings of God would come upon him. Would go to other people. And people would come from all around to observe and say, show us this way. What is this anointing? What is this that you've got? And his simple definition was this: I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you when it ain't. And I'm telling you, you can say you're a Christian, but we can tell when you ain't got the joy of the Lord. You know, I heard one preacher say it, that he says, your face is so long you could eat oatmeal through a gas pipe. You may know who that is, but I'm telling you, that's one of the best definitions of it, is it a sad, mad, and bad guy. But I'm telling you, God put glad in your heart, and it's not supposed to be taken away. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. God gave it to me, and we got to preserve it. Love, joy, and peace is put in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. There's 9 of them, and none of them are ever supposed to dissipate or go away. Long suffering, you know what that means? Suffering long. God gave you the power to do it. Gentleness and goodness, faithfulness. Those are the things that keep us going, friends. They're not subjects, they're not titles. I don't know what about. I'm trying to grow these things in my life, getting them stronger and better. How about you? How about you? Turn to your neighbor and say, I got the joy of the Lord. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, it's talking about ministers. It's talking about servants of God. Talking about people called and accepted the role in the ministry. And it says, listen to them. Humble yourself. Receive from that they can do their job with joy. Because it's going to be well for you. I don't know what the statistics are. A few years ago, it was like crazy numbers of people leaving the ministry because of the conflict, because of the tearing of their life, because of things they put their families through. And all these conflicts and all these things says, you know what? I just can't do it anymore. I just can't do this anymore. I know these guys. I get to work with pastors. Pastors give me some doors and open to work with pastors in my region. And I'm telling you, they can get some hard things. But I'm telling you, the joy of God is bigger than your problems. But you got to rev it up. You got to grow the joy of the Lord. I can't tell you how many times that I've not heard messages about stirring up the joy of God in your life. We have serious business. We are living in serious times, but it should not steal the joy of the Lord, because no matter what the world does, the joy of God is resident. And it'll override everything that would come up our way. We can't, you know, preachers will preach out of hurt. They'll preach out of anger. They'll preach out of jealousy. They'll preach out of ignorance, but they need to be preaching with the foundation of the joy of the Lord. I get up in the morning and I say, I like my job. I get up in the morning and say, I do my job with joy and gladness. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You stir that up. Paul told Timothy, stir up that gift within you. God didn't give you stupid. He gave you power and love and a sound mind. Stir up that is what he's telling him. You got to stir up your gift that's within you. It's no feel. It's not a feeling world. It's a decided world. Can you say amen to that, church? The kingdom, in Romans 14 and 17, the kingdom of God isn't meat nor drink, but it's what? Righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. Listen, if people get so cranky and so Eeyore, they get so down, then they're going to be preaching out of their hurt. You got to rev that up. You got to rev your joy up. And if you have that dominant, sad, mad, and bad in your life, then you haven't been spending time with the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God isn't how you wear. It isn't how you look. It isn't what you drive. It isn't the ornate building that you're in. It's fellowship with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I'm as I've been at it, I've got sermons under my belt. I've got track record and all that stuff. But I need the Holy Spirit's companionship more now than ever. We're living in important times, and you can be the answer. Our church should be a place where people come in and says, what's different about this place? The presence of God. What's different about you? You're a happy guy. You're a happy lady. The joy of the Lord is upon you. Right, so the kingdom of God's got to have the joy and the presence of the Holy Spirit. People need the joy of the Lord in their lives. People quit because it just gets too heavy. And I'm telling you, they didn't lift up the joy of the Lord. They didn't rise it up. People get negative. Preachers get negative and tell them, you're going to go to this and you're going to go. This is going to come upon you. Their prophecies are just downers. Who wants to come to Darth Vader's church? You know, who wants to come and be ministered to by the Grim Reaper? You know, I mean, tell you, people are looking for it. They're looking for the happy part. They're looking for joy. They'll look for it in drugs. They'll look for it, you know, in substance and things like that. Look for it in fast relationships, but they're just users. See, joy will lead you and guide you because you're in partnership with the person of the Holy Spirit. You have the responsibility to stir joy in your life. I do too. Every day of my life for the rest of my life. I have joy. I'm happy about being here, but my happiness about being here It's not the men's meeting. Tomorrow night, men come out. But my happiness is I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Remember singing that song? Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. How many used to sing that in the old Pentecostal church? Listen, friends, that's old-timey. That's past kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, it's as true as it can possibly be. And you need to remember that, the joy of the Lord. There's times I want to cry. There's times when a relationship goes south, somebody doesn't listen, somebody does something bad, I got to bury somebody. The list goes on and on. But the world didn't give it to me and it can't take it away. I've decided that. Have you? Are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? Do you turn the heat up yourself or you just read the temperature? I'm sad today because the Democrats are after the president or whatever else make you bend your nail. There's a verse in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So why do we have so many weak sissies out there? They quit. They're hopped to church to church. They quit. They call up 5 minutes. My cat got out. I can't come and work in the nursery. Come on. Let the cat go. He's got 9 lives. It's okay. It's okay. No, the joy of the Lord will cause you to do things. It'll cause you to be places. It'll cause you to be a magnet and attract people instead of repelling them. When people come to our church, they see real joy and not Sunday morning facade. Because they're going to see it. They're going to see you at Wendy's. They're going to see you, you know, steal that parking spot from them. Oh, yeah. And you come in all Mr. Sunshine Church, and then you go out. I mean, that's a poser. They call that, young people call that posers, imposters. How many joy people do we got here tonight? Why? Because it's your strength. It's not fake. You don't have to fake this thing because it comes down in here. Right down here. Right down here. That's where it lives. Along with love and peace. Gosh, if we'd just work the first three. Wow. The church would be dynamic. The church would be glorious. In Luke 2 and 10, the angels are speaking to the shepherds. He says, I got some news for you, boys. And they're shocked. See, these are people that live in the woods. They live in the hillsides. They're Bedouins. And they don't see anybody ever. And here this barrage of angels comes up. And they says, we got some news for you. Unto you to this day is born a Savior. They came with great tidings and great joy. Do you have great joy? See, that great joy was a Savior's born. I'm going to tell you, he was born, he's died, and he is alive. That joy hasn't weakened. It's great joy, but we can't be dormant. Stir up the gift that's within you. I've been preaching this like 5 or 6 weeks. There's a lot of things to preach on. But God wants our church, to have joy. Have joy. It's important for me. If I preach for nobody else, I'm preaching this for me tonight. The world is looking for joy. And like I said, they'll use artificial stimulants. They'll use relationships that are superficial and use them. But they're looking for joy. They'll look for joy in funny movies. I like funny movies. Does anybody else like funny movies? I like to laugh. And there's some funny people in the world, but funny and joy are different. I like to laugh at funny. When you used to have newspapers, they're kind of all dying out. Remember when I was a kid, we'd get those and I'd read what? The funny papers. They weren't funny, but I'd read them because I'm looking for it. How many are looking for joy? They're looking for that thing that makes you happy. There's that song by Pharrell Williams. It's about happy. What's the name of it? I think that's what it is. You're happy. You make me happy. And you have these people. They're not church people, but they're jumping and dancing. They're doing flips. They're doing all kinds of gestures. And there's smiles on their face. And you watch that video, and it puts a smile on your face. You know why? It makes me happy. You're meant to be happy and not sad. Just like you're made to be well and not sick. You're meant to be friendly and not some mean old alley cat. You're meant to have joy just in the same way. Just as you're supposed to be healthy, you're supposed to have joy. That doesn't mean you can't be serious. There's serious matters. But joy comes in the morning. It never leaves us. It never, the Holy Ghost doesn't go away. So the world is looking for these people that will get them happy. So they're looking to the world. But I am going to tell you, they need to be finding it in the church. You're doctrinally wrong. You said that wrong. Come on. So do you compared to Jesus. Cut somebody some slack and just say, you know what? God loves you. The joy of the Lord, your strength. There's some guys that I, in a recent, a kid by the name of Chris Farley, he did a movie called Tommy Boy. Anybody see Tommy Boy? Come on. Own up to it. Yeah, you did. Funny movie. Now, I know you're so spiritual, you don't want to admit that. But bust loose and just admit it. It's a funny movie. You know, one part there, he's tried on his friend's coat. His friend's a skinny guy, puts a fat guy in a little suit. I can tell some of you didn't see that. But that was funny. Chris Farley was funny. Another guy was John Candy. He was funny. Uncle Buck. How many saw Uncle Buck? Yeah, see, there's eight of you that like to laugh. Uncle Buck was a funny movie. And there's Richard Pryor. Remember Richard Pryor? He was a stand-up comedian. He could do some funny stuff. He was coarse, though. But he had funny. And Robin Williams. He was a comedian. Maybe the most expressive comedian in my lifetime. But here's an odd thing. It's funny. And they got all of their satisfaction by making people smile and making people laugh. Chris Farley died at 33 years of age. John Candy died at 43. Richard Pryor died at 65. Robin Williams died at 63. Robin Williams had $50 million in his bank account. He could make people laugh. He could bring happy, but he had no joy. Almost every one of these guys died because of overindulgence in their lives. They had a gift to make people smile, but they couldn't give themselves joy because there's one source for joy. What would these guys have been like if they'd had Jesus in there? So let's flip back a little bit. A few more years in front of that. How many remember a guy by the name of Jack Benny? Jack Benny was a comedian. He had a show, they called a variety show. And he could make people, he had a real, real dry sense of humor. And he had his butler, what was his name? Rochester. You watch that show, I can tell. And Rochester would say something, and Jack Benny was always the butt of the joke. He was always the punchline. And then he would put his hand up like this. Remember that? Look at him like, you sap, you just got me again. Jack Benny died at 80 years of age. Well-to-do. How remember Red Skelton? Red Skelton was great. Art Linkletter was great. Because they brought out humor that wasn't trashing people, and it wasn't hurting things. It wasn't degrading. It wasn't filled with all kinds of insult. I remember Red Skelton when he would finish his shows. He had these big dimples. He'd come out as Clem Cadiddlehopper and a hobo. I forget the guy's name because I was a wee child at those days. But when he would close his show down, he would always say this, "And God bless." You remember that? "May God bless." He had kind of a little pixie voice. He was 83 when he died, when he passed away. And the last one I mention is a man by the name of Bob Hope. What a name. How many remember Bob Hope? What he did, he gave his life and he made people laugh, and he went to the USO shows overseas and entertained the troops, and he did all kinds of things, brought people into his programs and shows and his movies. He had a light side, he had a bright side. How old was Bob Hope when he passed away? 100 years old. Here's what I'm telling you. The joy of the Lord brings you strength. But I'm telling you, sad, heavy heart, broken spirit dries up your bones. And I believe heaviness, sadness makes you sick. It invites things into your body. I'm not telling you to laugh at dumb things and questionable things, but joy is not just laughter. Joy is this welling up on the inside of you. You know what I have found in my tenure, and we're in our 40th year, I have found in my season, my time, faithful people come to church that suffer from depression. I'm not talking bad about anybody. I'm not wanting anybody to feel bad. But some of it's clinical, but some of it is just letting the world eat their lunch. I know preachers that get out and they quit. I have preacher friends that are looking for their parachute so they don't have to preach no more because they're tired of the banter. Raising the money. Working with this person. Another season. Another this. This person left. This person. I just don't want to deal with it anymore. Friends, I'm telling you, with the joy of the Lord, all of that is what we do. And you love it. Football players will go out when it's cold and in the snow, no short sleeves. They'll go out there and slop around that stuff. You know it's cold, but they look past the cold because they love the game. You got to love being a believer. You can't quit serving. I know scores of people that don't come to church, don't work in their calling anymore. They are sidelined. They're a beached whale because they don't have the joy of the Lord stirred up in their life. If they would just do the joy of the Lord, the anointings would come back upon them. The strength of God would come back upon them. The blessing of the Lord would come back upon them. John 15:11 says this. Jesus said this. He was talking about obeying his commandments and following after him. And he says in this, "My joy would remain in you, and that your joy would be full." When was the last time that your joy was so full it spilled out on somebody else? We need that. I need that. I need to be. There's a scripture that says in Hebrews, it says, "Provoke one another to love and good works." That's what I'm doing tonight. For me. But for you, you need to be provoked to turn on. You don't have a choice. "Well, I don't want to." Sorry. Was it Hershey commercial or the peanut butter research commercial? It says, "Not sorry." You need to stir up the joy of the Lord. This is a great church. It's a glorious church. And this church needs you. God needs you in this house to have that joy of the Lord. You do it with joy and thanksgiving. Gladness of heart. If you would just look at those verses and let them sink in and ponder them, I think it would change your faith life. If you'd find those scriptures, the joy of the Holy Ghost, I think it'd change things. Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." I heard one preacher say one time, he says, "If you don't have joy, then rejoice." Why is that verse? It's not a complicated word. Stirring up the joy in your life. So, time is done. It's over. How do we do this? Real quick. You're going to have to engage with people that have joy. There are some people that are so sour. They're so broken. They're so hurt. Doesn't mean you discard them. Doesn't mean you don't do something for them. But you need people around here that's going to build you up. Not just suck the life out of you. Man, I've done some counseling things, and I just, like, I can't wait to get away from these people. You're driving me crazy. I want to go out and shoot myself. That's not a good feeling. Hang around. Somewhere in your life, you got to have somebody that encourages you, that'll lift your hands up like they did Moses. Everybody needs Aaron and her in your life. You've got to find them because they're not everywhere. Because everybody's looking for them. You can be the encourager. Find somebody to encourage. There's people you can call up. I text people all the time. I call them, but they never answer. Preachers never answer the phone. You know that? They just don't. You text them and they get back here in 4 days. Like, I had a question 4 days ago, but I don't have it. I even forgot what it was. It's a fact. It's just a fact. So you got to engage with people that have joy. Number one, you can find them. But a bigger number one is you be one. Be the light and not the dark. Pull the lampshade off of your head. Turn the bulb on. Be happy, people. Number two, like I said, I just gave you a handful of scriptures. I'm telling you, there are dozens of joy and rejoice verses. Read them because that's you. That's you. You have the joy of the Lord. And number three, the song of the Lord. There are so many. We grew up with songs. We have songs now. There's two songs our church sings now. Both of them's named Joy. They're two different songs. So we're going to do Joy today. Well, which one is it? I think that's great to have a stockpile of songs that say joy. And here's what we do. We sing and talk about joy. But then we get out of church, we slip back into the old rut. And we get on the traffic and we, you know, convert to heathens again. And we wave to people with single fingers, which is wrong. Now, I know, Spokane is not the Bible Belt. There's mean people. Them sheep got fangs up there. We're not the Bible Belt. We don't even have Bible pants. We are the left coast. So I got to sell this stuff hard. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Say that with me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to pray. Let's all pray right now. Time is done. Father God, I just pray for my friends. Lord, right here tonight, I just think there's maybe somebody tonight that has a test upon them for depression. I speak to that right now in Jesus' name. I speak to that and I say stop. The joy of God rise up within them right now in the name of Jesus. It's just strength. Grab a hold of it right now if that's you. Grab a hold of it in Jesus' name. Everybody say this with me. Father God, you give me joy. It is in my spirit. And I let joy arise and my enemies be scattered in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap. Can we do that tonight? Thank you for bearing with me. Praise the Lord. God is good. Pastor, you're on.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, you can't give joy if you don't have joy. I say it like this. You can't spark joy if you don't have any joy. Hello. You know, many of you were here in 2003 when I officiated Dad's memorial service, and I had people ask me. They said, "Well, you don't look sad. You don't act sad." I said, "Well, yeah, I'm a hurt that he's lost, but I'm not sad because I have the joy of the Lord." See, you can face situations, but you still don't have to lose your joy. Hello? Amen. Thank you, Rick. That is good. We're going to receive an offering from Rick tonight, and I want him to get a real good offering. When Dad passed, Rick About a week after Dad had passed, he started texting me, as in 2003. For one whole year, he texted me every day to encourage me, to lift me up. He become a very close friend, and we probably text at least twice a day, most every day. And he's always encouraging me, and I'm always encouraging him, and he's my prayer buddy. I can go to him and tell him anything, and he don't tell nobody else, and he tells me, and I don't tell nobody else. You know, as men, we need somebody that's our buddy. Amen. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Yeah. Let's see, it was that last verse of scripture that he read. Right, Tony? And you read the next one down. Huh? Yeah, and that last one in Romans. Read the next verse down. And it says, you're supposed to live with this attitude. What attitude? What he was talking about in that previous verse. Amen. Praise the Lord.